What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome the contingency from Florida High. Always glad to have you all. Joining me here is Helen Abernathy. She's a junior, and she's into SGA, friends, and traveling.
Thank you so much for having me.
Always glad to see you. Samantha Bickle, she is a sophomore. She is into SGA, cheerleading, and friends.
Thank you for having me.
Fraley Krause. Fraley is a junior. Her interests include friends and church.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Jasmine Espinosa, she's a junior, SGA, friends, and work.
Always great to be here.
And I'm always glad to have you all. You always have such interesting perspectives, so I welcome having you. Xenophobia. Xenophobia refers to the dislike or fear of the unknown or something that is different from you. Xenophobia is not only an aversion to a person, but it's a fear or a dislike of other cultures and beliefs. In short, xenophobia is the fear of the other. When I say xenophobia, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I don't picture it as like an actual phobia that people get like freaked out about, because we're learning that now in AP psychology. And I just think it's like people just say, like, I don't want to be around this person, or I don't want these people coming into in my way or into my life. I don't think they panic or freak
out
about it.
Right. Well, yeah, they may not. Okay.
I think, yeah, I agree with Justin. I think it's like a new term that like kind of fits our culture now. And so it's not like an actual phobia, but it's like a new thing to describe the way people feel about like the current immigration issues and stuff.
Excellent, excellent. And that basically is kind of what's going on, because I'm not really referring to phobias where you go into a panic. Mm-hmm. Okay. And where do you sit on that?
Well, when I first heard the word, I did not know what it meant. So I had to, you know, find out what it meant. And when I did learn, like, I think it describes our culture, like, of America, like, very, it's a good word to describe us.
Okay. All right.
I think it's, like, a way of, a, like, a stereotype that people put on it, where, like, they, like, don't like a certain group of people, and they just use it to, like, describe them in a way that we, like, explain, like, a certain type of people.
When you think about xenophobia, how common would you say it is amongst your peers, amongst those that you interact it with?
I don't think it's common at all.
Yeah, since, I mean, I know I'm 16 and Jasmine is 17, so we're not at the voting age yet, and so we don't...
Oh, but I will. This upcoming election, I will be voting.
So maybe you need to research on this stuff. But, like, we don't really keep up with the issues. And I know xenophobia is an issue among voters because, like, the candidates have their positions on immigration and stuff. Mm-hmm. But as for our generation and our age group, it's not something we really talk about.
Okay, but do you feel it? And because what I want to do is I want to take it out of that little small, you know, confine and just spread it out. Because you don't have to be someone who's going to vote to have xenophobic ideas or feelings. So, you know, yes, I understand what you're saying, but let's expand that a little bit.
Okay, I think yeah, I get what you mean now. I don't think we are xenophobic just because we don't have the, like, we don't have our ideas, like, the bad ideas developed yet. Like, at our age, we're still, like, we have all these friends and we're accepting of everybody. And so, like, just because my friend doesn't have the same religion as me and just because they don't have the same skin color I have doesn't mean that I, like, will veer away from their friendship. And so I think just, like, in high school, when we're exploring, like, who we are and, like, trying to find out our ideas, we haven't developed that sense of xenophobia yet.
Yeah, I agree with Fraley. Like, in high school, people don't really... Well, I mean, I guess they do, but not to a certain extent where they're going to, like, not be your friend because you have a different skin color. I mean, some people sure are like that, but most people aren't. And for, like, we're just, like, not at that point in our lives where, like, it makes that big of an impact on us, I guess.
Okay. I agree that we, like, aren't as, like, judgmental as we, like, that would, like, be as if we were, like, older and, like, new understandings. We, like, would still be, like, someone's friend, even though they don't have, like, the same beliefs or interests as us, that we're more, like, more accepting of their, like, beliefs and, like, will, like, learn and, like, compare from their lifestyle to our lifestyle.
Where do you think it comes from when we just look at it? Because we're talking about the fear or dislike of other, whatever it may be. It may be skin color. It may be religion. It may be ethnicity. It may be culture. But when you talk about that, disliking the other, something that is different from you, where does that come from?
For America as a whole, I've learned that this year, like, it's happened in history so much. Like, we started with the Native Americans. We had the Italians. But that was an issue. Mm-hmm. We had the Mexicans. And, you know, we had black people that we were, like, you know, like, against. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's, like, the fact that it's just change and that people, well, like, America has so many different ethnicities and races in it already. But when a bunch of people try and come at one time, I think it's a fear of not wanting that change yet, but it's like I don't think everybody realizes that it's already here because we have so many different types of people here and so many different types of people that are already mixed with different races and different ethnicities. So I just think it's a matter of history repeating itself and we'll get over it eventually.
Okay. You agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with Jasmine. We're in the same history class and I know we, like, our teacher tells us all the time, like, we've seen this before. Like, the problems we have with immigrants now, we've had problems with them throughout all of history. So it's not something new necessarily. But I think what people are concerned with is the fact that people are here illegally and they can get the jobs that, like, Americans can get. And I know that, like, I listen to, like, the candidate debates sometimes. And I know that's a big issue with, like, illegal immigrants, and people are upset with them taking jobs from people that are here legally and more qualified just because they can get paid less. So
okay.
I know that's an issue.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Where, as far as you're concerned, where does xenophobia come from?
I think we're all scared of something, whether it be, like, people or something different. So I think everyone does have, like, a little scare of, like, people. Like, I'm sure, like, if you're walking alone at night and someone, like, comes up to you, you're going to be a little scared. So I guess it just is in us already. Like, we're all scared of something.
Of something.
So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And you agree with her? Where do you sit on this? You think it's just all around us?
I think I agree with it because everyone, like, would be afraid of something, and, like, we see what happens to other people. And we, like, imagine, like, oh, what if that happened to me? And we would be scared of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the fear of that, like, comes onto it from, like, seeing what other people go through.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, the change. But even though we, like, had the change, we, like, don't really see it until, like, years on when we, like, look back on it and see, like, what happened in the world. And that's, like, where we see the change from.
Samantha, do you think that xenophobia is a driving force in our society, in American society? Just about almost any attitude that we may form on anything?
I would say it would be because, like, when you think of, like, when someone has an opinion on something and you listen to their opinion, then, like, you, like, take on traits from what they say. And, like, then your opinion, like, grows of what something is. And then you, like, hear what other people say.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it might, like, grow from that. Like,
okay.
Taking on, like, important information from others, and, like, that makes, like, your opinion, I guess.
Right.
I agree with Samantha. They're just because somebody, like, they might come into, like, I came into this not really knowing what xenophobia was, and so by listening to other people, whether they don't agree with it or whether they do agree with it, that can, like, sway your opinion on it, and that can sway your beliefs and position on it, and so I think that others, like, the way others feel really impact, like, it can kind of be, like, a domino effect. Like, one person is xenophobic, and then they tell others about it, and so they then become xenophobic as well without knowing, like, the entire truth. So I think a lot of people may have the belief, but they really don't know the entirety of the word. And so I just think some Americans have this, like, judgment of others without really having the whole picture in mind.
Okay. Did you want to comment on that particularly?
Well, not on that necessarily. I just think it's hard for me to understand that people are so scared of the... Because I don't really understand why people are so scared of us trying to help other people. Like, I understand there's, like, diseases and, you know, like, it's like they're scared of terrorism and stuff like that. But the pictures that, like, they show on the news and stuff, like, for me, it makes me feel bad. And I wish I could do something more, like, to see people waiting, like, to start trying to see at Guantanamo Bay, maybe? Mm-hmm. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So, like, it just, it's so sad for people to, like, I don't know. Maybe I have a bigger heart than other people, but I just don't either understand how people can be like, no, I don't want to help people that need help.
Yeah.
I guess that's hard for me.
Mm-hmm. It's just hard for you to kind of wrap your arms around that and see exactly what they mean. But you touched on terrorism, and I was wondering what influence you believe that the political turmoil today has an influence on how we feel about things. Whether it, again, getting back to xenophobia, you know, there's terrorism, and it's every place. Mm-hmm. It's not just in the United States. I mean, you can go all around the world, and there's terrorism. Do you feel that that has plays a role in our attitudes? Because in essence, that's what we're talking about, mm-hmm. attitudes. Do you feel that that plays a role? And that's to all of you, not just to Jasmine.
Okay, well, yeah, I think it does, but I just don't think that, like, I don't know. Like, I guess they can't do background checks on all of the people that are waiting to come into the States, because obviously that's hard, but, like, I don't know. It's just really hard for me to understand why we can't at least try and help. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do think that everybody is scared of terrorism, and I'm scared of terrorism, but obviously, like, What are you going to do to prevent it? Not let the people come in, but then they're stuck. Nah, what are they going to do?
Like, well, I guess some say we have too many people coming in here. And if they're going to come, they need to be able to come in legally. Mm-hmm. They're not saying we don't want you to come, but they're saying that we don't want you to come illegally. And if you come illegally, that's when it becomes a problem.
Right.
Of course, you know, some of the things that they complain about as far as taking jobs and that, if you really read on it, the amount of the percentage of jobs that they're taking is neglectful. Let me ask you, hold your thoughts, because I need to take a break. But when I come back, I'll start with you. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and I have the Florida High Contingency for Dynamic Young Folks who always have an opinion. I again welcome Jasmine Espinoza, Fraley Krause, Samantha Bickle, and Helen Abernathy. I had to interrupt you, Jasmine, but you can continue now.
Okay. We were talking about the jobs, and as far as I'm concerned, the jobs that they're taking are jobs that we don't even want.
Right.
So who's going to do it anyway? That's right. Another thing that I have an issue with is, like, because I know I'm not going to go out of my way to, like, do low-paying jobs that...
Pick vegetables and fruit. And,
right. So if they're here to work, then who cares?
Okay.
Back to the terrorist thing.
Yes.
Ever since, like, 9/11, I think a lot of people have been reluctant to let Middle Eastern people in just because of everything that happened and, like, our society is rooted in fear, and we make decisions because we're scared of things. And I think off the bat, a lot of people might say, oh, no, don't let them in. They're Muslims. They're all terrorists. But that's obviously a bias, and that's obviously a stereotype. And we have to be aware, like, we can't deny these people just because of who they are, because not every single Muslim is going to be a terrorist once they come to the U.S.
But it must be a popular concern because we have political folks running with that as part of their their platform.
Yeah.
We will not allow Muslims. We are going to survey all the Muslim communities. How do you do that?
I think, like, the older people in the world are more concerned about Muslims, like, coming into America. But, like, for the younger people, like, they see people all the same. Like, for me, like, a Muslim is just, like, a person. Like, an American can easily be a terrorist as much as a someone else could be. So I don't see, I mean, like, sure, if they're, like, involved in, like, ISIS and they come to the United States, then, like, people are going to be concerned about it. But if, like, I don't know, like, people just, like, judge people so easily, so, like, if someone's a Muslim, they're not automatically a terrorist.
Right. But that's where we get into this whole discrimination and stereotyping that you brought up, Fraley.
I agree with Helen because I feel like we're all, like, so worked up about, like, the stereotype of, like, the Muslim-terrorist, like, collaboration thing that, like, I feel like if, like, I was Muslim and, like, someone called me a terrorist because of, like, where I came from, like...
Or your religion. It's not even where you come from.
And then, like, I feel like I would take offense to that because I had no part in that. And that would, like, pretty much hurt my feelings that I wasn't welcome because of someone that did something, like, that was a part of my religion, but I had no take in it.
Do you see a link between immigration and racism and discrimination and xenophobia, and do you, and what do you see? I mean, do you see a connection between all of them?
Yeah, because we're discriminating against them, like Helen, Sam, and Fraley said, because of their religion, because they're all Muslim, and we're all putting that in the same group as terrorists. So I just think that we are discriminating against them, and that's why we're not letting them in to where they should be welcome to, in my opinion, so.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, a lot of what Americans do is because of fear. And I think a lot of us are just scared of the change that it'll bring if, say, they let a large pool of Mexicans in or just Latin American in general or Middle Easterns in. I just think that Americans aren't ready for the change. And, like, they want things to be the way they always have been. They want the tradition. And like we were saying earlier, back in history, a lot of white people think they're above everybody. And so I know there's still people today in society, maybe even in politics, that think that the white people are above.
Not just maybe. Okay. You're being kind, isn't she?
They think they're above everybody. And so they're like, they automatically look down on them, and they don't keep an open mind. They just have it in their mind like, oh, no, we're not going to let them in. We're going to build a wall. So I think a lot of people just have these rooted values that come
from
the past.
And it must be a lot of people, though, that have this. Because when you look, and you're nodding your head, you want to comment. I want, go right ahead.
Well, I think that some people are just so, what's the word? Prone?
Prone to what?
Prone to, like, the things that they know. So it's just really hard for them to make a change in their mind to let other people into America that could take their jobs or take things that they need or something like that. And they're just not open to the fact that eventually things will change and they just aren't.
But will they? I mean, because are we, you talk about us just kind of going around in a cycle. And are we just getting back to that cycle where we are steeped in discrimination and racism and ignorance? I mean, we've had a history of this. So how would you explain this?
I think, I don't think we'd ever go back to how drastic it was back then just because of all the progressive change and, like, all the civil rights stuff that we have in our laws now. But I definitely can see how people can bring back the mindset that, oh, I don't want all these people in the country because, like, let's just keep it how it is. Like I said earlier.
But that's so ridiculous.
I know.
Look at the country. I mean,
we're
if there's
like
anybody that belongs here, it would be the Native Americans and the Mexicans.
I know.
I mean, that's, they were who was here in the first place.
Yeah.
Everybody else has immigrated one way or another, by choice or not by choice, okay?
Yeah, that's where the ignorance comes in, because just because you have a skin color doesn't mean you are dominant over somebody else. Because you're, like, my immigrants came from Germany, and Germans were once discriminated against. And, like, everybody's going to be discriminated against at one time because of where they came from, but eventually it'll come around, and then they'll just integrate into society, I think. So I don't think it should be a big deal because, like you said, like we've all said, we've seen this before, like immigrants come in all the time. We're a melting pot, you say. Mm-hmm. And
well,
so,
they say we're a melting pot.
Yeah, but I
don't
mean,
know that there's
some
that,
people
a lot
don't like
of
that.
Melting actually going in. We might be more
like a pot of tossed salad.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm.
Okay. Comments.
I agree with Helen, what she said about, like, people, like, have, like, their way of knowing what they, like, feel. And, mm-hmm. like, they're, like, a one-way street, kind of. And that they're always going to believe how they feel is correct, even though, like, someone's opinion can, like, hurt another person's feeling based on, like, their religion or, like, ethnicity or, like, where they come from. And that's, like, a big problem that we have is we're not, like, open-minded to other people's situations and, like, what mm-hmm. they go through. Mm-hmm. And how we could help them, but mm-hmm. we don't because of the fear of, like, someone taking something from another person.
Well, and what we're talking about, again, we've touched on this, is attitudes. And as we look at attitudes, what is or who has been the most influential in you establishing an attitude about anything? I mean, for example, what role does your family play in the attitude that you have toward a group of people or a thing or whatever? Because I'm just really looking at the attitude. What role does your family play in that? Or parents play in, you know, the development of an attitude? Go for it, whoever wants to.
Well, I think when parents raise their kids, they raise them with their own values. And so I know in my family, like, I was raised, you need to be accepting of everybody. Like, you shouldn't judge somebody just by their look or just by what you hear. Like, you need to get to know them to make an opinion off of someone. And I know, like, I also, just because, like, they had a certain political view, I thought I did too. But I've learned that, like, by watching politics, like, I think my views have changed. So I think parents raise their kids, like, through with their views in mind, mm-hmm. and they, like, put their views on their kids. But, so family definitely has a role in it. But I think society and definitely the media have a large role on opinions as well.
Okay.
I agree with Fairly, like, a lot, because your family will teach you a certain thing growing up, whether it be, like, to accept people or, like, if there's something in their past, like, they'll teach them that. But, like, society does play a huge role in, like, the upcoming generation because I guess parents don't really go on, like, Twitter or, like, social media. So, like, there's a lot of influence that we take from social media. And, like, even in school, like, we're taught to, like, not be, like, not, like, have our own views on mm-hmm. politics and not have our own views on everything and not just take what our parents have taught, like, keep that in mind, but, like, also be our own person.
Okay.
I agree with Helen that, like, we've always been taught, like, what our family believes. Mm-hmm. Like, as, like, a kid, I remember, like, my mom would always be, like, make sure you're respectful. Make sure you, like, say yes, no, yes, ma'am, mm-hmm. no, ma'am. And, like, have those, like, I guess, like, values and, like, morals to, like, be able to go through life. And then we, like, as we, like, go through, like, school, we learn, like, different things in, like, history class and everything that, like, we, like, were taught as a kid and, like, things that we experience, we, like, just, like, form them together to, like, be our own person and, like, have our own views on things.
What happens, though, when you find that you are going through this period where you're starting to question or maybe differ with what you have been mm-hmm. taught all along? How do you handle that kind? I'm looking right at you, baby, because that must really apply.
See, I'm going through that right now.
Okay.
Ever since, like, since the presidential election and just listening to what they're saying, like, I was raised, I won't, like, be specific, but mm-hmm. I was raised, like, my parents were a certain view, and so I was like, okay, yeah, like, I agree, you guys are that, so I'll be that too. But now, like, to listening to everything, I'm like, wait a minute, I agree with like, with what they're saying versus what this person's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of awkward because, like, are my parents going to be mad at me if I tell them, hey, I don't agree with you guys. Like, I have a different belief than you. But then it comes to that point where your parents have to understand that you're going to have your own views and you're going to be your own person. And, like, I respect my parents' views and I, like, appreciate them raising me how they did. And just because I disagree with them in this aspect doesn't mean, like, I don't value the other things they taught me. So it gets kind of awkward when, like, I have these views and I've been raised a certain way, but there comes a point where I have to be like, hey, like, I don't agree with you guys in this point, but that doesn't disrupt everything else.
Okay.
My family is, like, kind of opposite of that because I have my mom's a Democrat, my dad's a Republican, my brother's in the, oh, wait, that's wrong. My mom's in the independent category and my brother's a Republican. So I guess, like, I can be whatever I want. Like, it's totally up to me because every single one person in my family has something different. And so, like, if I were to pick something, then they're obviously going to accept me for what? Not, like, saying that your parents aren't going to accept you for that something different. Like, they totally will, but I don't know. It's just different, I guess, because they're all
It's just different a different, different atmosphere.
I agree with what, like, Fraley said, that, like, we grew up, like, knowing our parents, like mindset on things, and like as we get older we like start to like contradict what they say and like take like into consideration like what we learn and like how we feel about like the topic, which would like kind of like cause conflict, but like not really, like you just have like your own like opinion, and like I could see how like they could like get mad, but then like in the end it's like your opinion and like how you like see the topic like on, so they like should be like accepting, and I'm pretty sure they would be.
Okay. Jasmine.
Well, I was raised by my grandma, and she always taught me like be independent, like to find, like she taught me the basics of manners, and like Sam said, yes, you know, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and all that stuff. But then, like, when I started growing up and hearing things at school, and like hearing things, you know, on seeing things on social media, and I didn't know about it, and I like didn't know what to say about it, I would research it, and so I found that like. I'm more of a Democrat now, but they say that when you're younger, that's usually what happens, is you fall more on the left than you do on the right. And I also learned that in government this year, we took the little, you know, quadrant test thing, and it showed us where we were. And she's, Miss Deed said that majority, there was 70% this year was, like, towards the Democratic side, and she said that always happens, but then you take the test when you, like, get married, and then it changes, and then when you get older, it goes back the other way, so, but that's just how I was taught to, like, be independent and find my own beliefs instead of listening to everybody else around me, so that's pretty much what I do to this day.
Okay. Sometimes people tend to think that xenophobia and racism are similar, and that their uses or their usage is interchangeable. Do you see a difference between xenophobia and racism?
I think when people use the term, like, oh, I'm xenophobic, I don't think they're realizing.
It's so funny because you don't even hear that. Like, yeah, like, you don't even hear
I've
people
never
say
heard
that
before. I
don't
think they researched it on the way here, like, trying to figure out what we're going to talk about today.
I don't think they realize what they're actually saying. Because the term is rooted in racism, and it's like connotation is applied to racism because you're having these views for a particular group for no like just based on a stereotype. And so, what am I answering?
You're just talking about the relationship, the difference between xenophobia and racism. Okay. Are they the same? How are they connected? Can you use them interchangeably?
Yeah. I think they're kind of, maybe not completely synonymous, but definitely getting to the synonymous. Because racism is you're against a particular group for no, like, real, actual reason. You're just against them. And xenophobia is, like, you don't want to integrate with different cultures just because you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a real actual reason behind it. And so in that aspect, they're the same because you don't want these people to come in your country just because, oh, they have a different skin color, or, oh, they're Muslim, they worship Allah, so they're, like, they shouldn't be allowed in my country. So I think it is the same in that aspect.
What about, and this is to all of you, but what about the value that comes in there? Because with racism, we find those individuals are putting a value as to say, I am better, I am than the other person, or whatever it is that they are discriminating against.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess technically, xenophobia may not involve that value aspect of it. it just involves the fear. But out of xenophobia may come some other, do I make sense? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, you know, but out of xenophobia may come some other, you're xenophobic and therefore you find yourself discriminating. You find yourself stereotyping. But racism does have that value of, I am the dominant white culture, mm-hmm. therefore I am better mm-hmm. than just fearful and disliking. I mean, comment on that. What do you think?
Well, I think racism is more an extreme term just because, like, when we think about it, we think of history. And, like, xenophobia, people don't say that now. And it's, like, kind of just used loosely, I think, because, mm-hmm. and we're not, like, targeting, we are targeting a certain group, but I just don't, you don't see it as much. And, like, racism, it's people within, like, in the civil rights, it was, like, racist towards black people. So I just think it's more predominant me? No, mm-hmm. that's not the right word. It's more like, I guess, extreme. Like, racism is more extreme term, the way I see it.
Okay. All right. I just want to get your readings on it, how you see it. You know, because we can debate back and forth what it is. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that I would add that racism does include is that whole value that is involved there, as opposed to, you see xenophobic having a value of putting one person above another, too?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. All right. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I am talking with students from Florida High. We are talking about xenophobia and looking at racism and the impact it has on today's society. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll get right back at you. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. This hour, I have students from Florida High joining me, and we are looking at xenophobia and racism. And studies show that many people have subtle racial biases that they are unaware of. Would you agree with that? We tend to behave in the ways that we are socialized and may not be aware of our biases until they are, you know, until we're made to force them, see them. Agree? Disagree? I mean, they can't see you.
No, I agree, but, like, I guess it depends on what situation that we're put in, because right now we don't have any, is it, it's mainly the Syrian refugees, right? Is that what?
Well, I mean, it's more than that.
But like, that's, I mean, what they're showing on the news, right?
Well, that's what they're showing on the news, but they're talking about Mexicans. Well, and as far as Donald Trump is concerned, he's anti-women, he's anti-Mexicans, he's anti-black, he's anti-disabled. I mean,
I feel like that's everyone.
So, yeah. Like, who's left?
Right.
I don't know, white males. A lot of people are voting for him, so I don't know what we're going
to do. And what does that say? Ignorance. That's what I was trying to get to when we were talking about earlier. So even though there are all these biases and obvious stereotypes,
I don't think people are paying attention or, like, listening to what he's actually saying. I just think it's kind of like,
I feel like it's like a bandwagon kind of thing.
Yeah, and, like, he comes off as this powerful guy, but, like, the stuff he says is, like, just blows my mind, and that people are still supporting him is insane, because if and most likely when he becomes, hopefully we'll realize by the time the primaries come around, but mm-hmm. he has a strong chance of becoming president, and by the time it's just, it's gonna be like, I mean, he can't get everything he wants done because, you know, he has to go through Congress and all that other stuff, but it is gonna be too late, because we're gonna have a president that walks around, you know, using terrible language and then, like, saying all these negative things, and then,
can you imagine him being in a big meeting with world powers and they say something that he doesn't like?
I feel like it's gonna make America just look so, like,
dumb,
like not educated, and, like, we just look like we're just, like,
well, how do we look now? I mean, when the presidential contenders get into fights about Your wife, it's like the dozens. They're playing the dozens. Your mama, my mama, your wife.
I feel like if anyone else said like the things that he said, it like would be like, what are you even like? Why are you saying stuff like that?
Yeah, it shouldn't be that way.
I feel like people think he's just like gonna like have the income just like shoot up again because he's so like good with money and everything.
Well, that's a question too. He's a millionaire at the best. Okay, yeah. But. Do you know how many times he's filed
for bankruptcy,
bankruptcy. Yeah. And so left people hanging? And the question, I know we're digressing to Trump, but it all comes into this whole xenophobia thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and what is it, the Trump University?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for you.
Well, those people.
Yeah. The commercials, they, like, make you, like...
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
It's terrible. It's not, like, I'm laughing, but it's because it's, like, an uncomfortable situation, and then everybody's looking at us like we're dumb. But, I feel like there's nothing else that we can do about it besides, like, try and force it through the people's heads that are voting for him and that are supporting him. Like,
and lots of times, the people that are voting for him won't reap the benefits of what he's talking about in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing that baffles me is that we sit here talking about how his views are so like extremist and radical and crazy, but there's a lot, like there's a very high percentage of voters that are actually agreeing with his ideas.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
That's scary.
What does that say?
I don't know, that we're ignorant? Like, I guess people need to research their stuff because... I don't know. He's just the things he says is crazy, and it seems like he doesn't even know what he's talking about. Like he's just saying what people want to hear, like "woo, build a wall,"
and what
"woo, nobody can come in the country."
Is that like this is going to be my first presidential election voting, and I seem to care more than older people are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I don't know, just.
Well, you should.
It frustrates
me. You're going to definitely be in this madness. Mm-hmm. Do you feel there's a relationship between poverty and inequality? I mean, for example, poverty and race really do go hand in hand. Here in the United States, there's a strong relationship between race and privilege, or race and disadvantage.
I was going to talk about that earlier, about, like, when we were saying, like, there might not be room for the people and all this stuff, but then, like, some of the people might not have an education that we have, or, like, they won't be able to get better jobs, and then they won't be able to afford certain things and won't be able to start a family, so then, they'll have to have government money or, like, our taxes or something to help support them. So I think that's another thing that's contributing to this, is that they're not going to be able to afford to live on their own. So then we're forced to help them even more than we already have.
Okay.
I think I definitely see the aspect or believe with your view that like just because you have a different skin color or just because of your race makes you have a different social status or a different economical status. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, things are progressing to where, like, those people have, I don't want to say more, but, like, they're favored just because we see that, like, the way we treated them wasn't right and it wasn't equal. And so now in, like, our modern times where, like, we take that into account and we look at them more... I don't know. I don't...
No, I'm like, listening. I'm listening.
Like, say in older times, you would say you have a white man and a black woman apply for a job. Someone's going to be like, oh, white man, just because he's white.
Right.
But now they might look at the... Like, say they have the same resume. They've done the exact same things, but they want to give the opportunity to them. And, like, I don't want to say... I mean, some people might do this. I don't want to say they get it just because they felt bad for, mm-hmm. because that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just trying to take the route, like, they get the job just because they deserve the opportunity.
Okay. Okay.
So it's not, like, poverty isn't that big of a deal as it was, because they're getting more opportunity, like, more and more opportunity in the workforce.
So you think that poverty today is not... As influential, as not a disadvantage?
No, I do.
You do? Okay.
I think it's shifted to more the illegal immigrants and, like, more the Mexicans because, like we said, they take the jobs that we don't want. They take the lowest-paying jobs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they're kept in poverty. And, yeah.
Okay.
But I just think it shifted from races.
Okay. Where do you sit on all of this, Helen? I mean, as far as poverty and race and inequality, I mean, do you think they go hand in hand? Does one influence another? When you just think about all of those different variables.
I think they all play a role with each other in some way. Like, I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's kind of...
What about race and privilege? Do you think that has a role?
Well, like...
Okay, I'll have... I think that, okay, there's a lot of families... there's a lot of old money from white families. And so... Just, like, all the... I know there's a lot of plantations in the South. All the money that those people made originally has, like, continued through the families.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the ancestors today of them, they're predominantly white because the white people were the plantation owners. And so those ancestors, like, have the money still. And so that gives them the upper hand, and, like, they can have better connections because they're well-known in the city and, like, the surrounding area.
Mm-hmm.
So they're known, they have connections, and they have more money. So that does give them that privilege.
Okay.
I just wish that we were more, like, opening to, like, having, like, if American didn't want to have the lowest-paying job and someone from, like, another country was willing to, like, take the crappy job and work to, like, make the money, even though, like, it'd take a while to, like, get a good salary and, like, save up to, like, have a good life, that I think that if they're willing to work and, like, willing to do what no one wants to do,
mm-hmm.
that they should be, like, allowed to come.
Okay.
Even
All
though,
right.
like, some people are, like, against it, like, oh, they're not, like...
But allowed to come legally or illegally? I mean, because that's a big issue there.
I think legally, because if they're, like, willing to work and, like, want to get an education and, like, will work to, like, be able to do that, and, like, if no one else wanted the job, like, then they should, like, be able to.
How do you all propose we address those who are here illegally?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think if they're here working... Because I'm not saying that I work with illegal immigrants, but I work at a Mexican restaurant. And if they're here working and they have a family here and they've been here
exactly.
for years, why not just go through the paperwork, go through the background check, and just keep them here instead of having them, like, have to...
Because you know we're not going to be able to haul all these people.
Well, the ones that
that's
we
impossible.
Do, the
that's
ones
it.
That
every
we,
single...
The ones that we do know, because I had someone that was an illegal immigrant that I worked with that had to leave because he got a speeding ticket. And I'm not going to say where he is now because I don't even know. But he did quit, and he moved. Because, like, I just don't understand that. But if they have a job and they are stable, they have stable income, and their kids are going to school, or if they're married or something, whatever the case may be, why not just fix it right then and there? If you find, like, say Helen is from, like, Guatemala or somewhere, like, I don't even know, Mexico, and I find her and I'm like, oh, but she has a job, she has all this, like, come to wherever and we'll mm-hmm. fix it. Like, I'll write your name, you'll be real, like, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the difficulty, like, instead of, like, going out of our way to, like, ruin
I feel
their
like
lives.
It's, like, such a big, like, thing, like, oh, you're not, like, supposed to be here, like, leave.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they, like, started their life here, and they, like, have a family here, and their kids are getting education.
Exactly.
And,
mm-hmm. and
if
they're
doing
productive
wrong, then, like,
citizen.
Yeah.
yeah.
And they're actually, like, doing something. They're just not staying here and, like, getting things from the government just because they, like have that option. Like, they want to, like, stay here and, like, work and, like, do what they, like... Like, they want to be Americans,
mm-hmm.
I say. Like, I feel like they shouldn't be just, like, pushed out because, like, they didn't come here. Like, they just wanted, like, a better life, I
mm-hmm.
guess.
And taking it even a step further, what about the children who were brought here? They had no choice
mm-hmm.
in it.
Right.
They were brought here illegally. How do we address that? They really know no other place
mm-hmm. right.
but the United States. They've been here since they were, what, 6 months old, a
mm-hmm.
year old. How
and for
do
you
we
to
deal
send
with?
Them back to, like, poverty and then have them go through all, that would be terrible. So I just don't.
Yeah.
Mm.
yeah
mm-hmm.
But I don't understand how you would, like, take someone that all they know is, like, America, and they, like, thought they were, like, an American. Mm-hmm. And then you just say, oh, no, you have to go back to where you were, like, originally from, and they have no idea what that, like, lifestyle right. would be like and, like, what to expect because they've never been there.
Mm-hmm. We had this exact same conversation today in history.
Oh, really?
Literally the exact same thing because, I don't know, I just think – I get what you guys are saying about illegal immigrants, like, if they want to be here. But there's some people that come here legally, and, like, they just take all of our government money.
Yeah.
And, like, they have opportunities that they, like, steal opportunities from people that are here legally. And, like, I don't know. I'm just controversial about it. But then my teacher was like, okay, what about the ones that have kids? Like, what are you going to do with the ones that have kids? Are you just going to send the parents back and leave the kids alone? Mm-hmm. Like, oh. And he said that... probably Trump had the idea to send them back until they're 18 and then they come back and have citizenship here. But, like, okay, I don't agree with illegal immigrants, but then when you bring in the kid aspect, I'm like, okay, it's not fair to send them back.
Yeah, so you send the parent back and you leave the kid
yeah.
here.
Yeah, like, you can't do that.
But then wouldn't you be, like, putting them in a, like, situation to not, like, have their parents with them?
Right.
So that's, like, even
right.
worse exactly. than being, like,
that's,
sent back.
Oh, yeah, I'm not advocating that.
Yeah.
I'm just
yeah,
saying
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what...
So it's yeah. a controversial subject.
Yes, yes. In these last few minutes, as we look at xenophobia and racism, do you think that the American society is obsessed with race? Obsessed with culture and ethnicity? Because... Fraley, you brought it up at the very beginning of our discussion. There's always been some group, or you brought it, one of you, mm-hmm. you know, that there's always been some group that we have discriminated against. Mm-hmm. So are we obsessed here in American society?
I think so until we run out of people to discriminate against, because that's what it seems like, because mm-hmm. I feel like we've been through so many different types of people. So, I mean, and I do think we're eventually going to get past it because we can't, you know, hold up on this forever.
Mm-hmm. So, I think a lot of Americans, like, want to have somebody to pick on to make themselves feel better. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we just do what, like, some, it used to be black people, and so we're just like, oh, let's discriminate against them. That'll make me feel better. Blah, blah, blah. But then they got equal rights, and, like, now we're pretty equal. And so now we're like, oh, Mexicans. Oh, Muslims. Let's discriminate against them to make ourselves feel better since we don't have... Like, it's kind of what Jasmine said. We're going to run out of people at some point. But we, like, keep hopping and hopping because there's those people that just want to discriminate because that's how it's been for, like, the course of America.
Well, you know, you may have heard me say this before. I'm a Star Trek. I guess I'm aging myself, but I love Star Trek. Anyhow, I will always remember this, and they did an episode where they were warring. The two different planets were warring, and they had a problem with the people that lived on one planet because on the left side of their body, they were black. And on the right side of their body, they were white. And these people on the other planet, on the left side of their body, they were white. And on the right side of their body, they were black. So the point was that no matter what you do, there's always going to be something, mm-hmm. you know, to mm-hmm. discriminate about. Whether, you know, your eyes are blue or your hair is brown or, I mean, and I just wanted you to respond to that. Because do you think that that is where we are? I mean, that's just the reality that, you know, if you're different, we got to find something to make a distinction about and use it as a basis of discrimination. Is that what we're all about?
I mean, oh, sorry.
No, go.
No, whoever.
I mean, like, okay, ever since 1776, ever since this nation was founded, there's been racism, whether it's Native Americans or black people or Mexicans, whatever. There's been discrimination from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And so that's what people know. That's what people have learned. And that that really plays a part in how people view things and other people. And so just because it's been like this for so long, I don't think it'll really ever go away.
It might not change, because when we run out of the races and run out of all that, it might go back to gender inequality. That's what right. I was going to say before, mm-hmm. Fraley. So, like, I just think that maybe we're going to find something. Like, it's mm-hmm. until everyone becomes brown. That's literally what's going to happen.
Adding on to what Jasmine said, I feel like everyone, like, we just automatically, like, assume that when some, like, that there'll always be someone to, like, blame for something. Like,
okay. Well, we are out of time. And as usual, I just want to say thanks. I always enjoy talking with you. All you just bring in some real interesting concepts. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollifield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.